He wants us to depart a little bit from all of the activities, the hectic schedule, so he decided he wanted to say a little prayer. So he asked the driver, would you please take me by the seat of the cathedral? And I get a little side shop and the key in there. They won't know it, so I'll just wait a few minutes and then I can just keep going.
If you can imagine, when you look at today's gospel, the real issue bothering Herod was how famous Jesus was getting. The big deal right there in the first line, look at it. In the King James Version, it says that his fame had spread throughout the entire region. You look at all the different versions, they all speak about the same thing. Herod was concerned that Jesus and his disciples were gaining power and were being known. And if you think about it, we still live in a society that is very concerned about fame and famous people. If you flip the channels of your television set, almost at any hour of the day, you'll see these shows where they talk about people's lives, what's going on with your favorite celebrity. If you're at the supermarket, you look at all the magazines. The last few months have been a little funny, right? Because it's all about, you know, Meghan Merkel, you know, who married the prince, and they tell you about, you know, fights with the queen, fights with the others, you know, it's kind of funny. Problems in the castle, whatever it is. It's all gossip. 90% of it is not true. But we seem to be interested in famous people. And we don't realize that fame is like the foam in the ocean. It goes up and down. It doesn't last. But in the case of Jesus, his fame was a threat. It was a threat to the establishment, to the political establishment, which Herod represented. You know, he was king for almost 40 years, long time. But he was also a threat to the religious establishment, to his own people. What Jesus was saying in announcing the kingdom of God was not so popular with everyone, even though he was being followed by the crowds, and his message, which was so authentic, his message of God's love and God's kingdom, made a huge impact. And I'm sure the miracles, all of the works of mercy, the ministry of Jesus, was making an impact in the world. But if you think about it, Herod knew about Jesus. Listen to me carefully. He knew about Jesus, what people said or were saying. but he did not know Jesus. And there's a big difference. One thing is to know about something superficially, and the other thing is to know something, to know the heart of the matter. And so Herod knew about Jesus and his fame, but he did not know Jesus. And if you think about it, that happens to us in our human relationships all of the time. It happens to us. We judge things kind of superficially. It's like that first impression. You ever heard of first impressions? Sometimes you have a bad first impression. And then you give the person an opportunity and you get to know them and you say, oh, you know, this person is not the way I thought they were. I remember 24 years ago when I first became a priest, I was sent to a parish not far from here, St. Clements in Fort Lauderdale. And at that time, I was like 25 years old. I was one of the youngest priests in the state of Florida at that time. And I remember that the only other priest neighbor who was under the age of 60 wrote me a little note and said, hey, welcome to Broward County. Will you come to lunch? Now, this priest was notorious, in a way, for being obnoxious. And my first impression of him when I first met him was, this guy's obnoxious. But then, you know, I went out to lunch with him, with the obnoxious priest. And I listened to him. And I heard about his passion for ministry and for helping the poor and for doing things with youth and all these things. And as a young priest, I was very impressed with the obnoxious priest. And after a while, I got to understand that the reason that everybody thought he was obnoxious is because they didn't really get to know him. They didn't understand him. The first impression they had of this guy was so bad, they just kind of stayed away. Well, I would tell you, and this is a true story, this priest became one of my closest friends. Because I got to know him. Get what I'm saying? I got to know the heart of this person and the mind, what this person was thinking and feeling and understanding about life and ministry, and I shared a lot in common with the obnoxious priest. And maybe I'm a little obnoxious myself. What I'm trying to say to you is, we got to get to know in order to understand. And in order to have a real relationship, we got to get to know. And I'm talking today to us, including myself. I'm talking today about our relationship with Jesus. Do you feel that you know about Jesus, or do you feel that you know Jesus? Listen to me carefully, because it's not the same thing. You may have grown up in church all your life and gone to Sunday school. You may have grown up with religious parents or not, whatever it was. They told you all about Jesus and the Gospels and the Bible stories. You may know a lot about the Lord. My question to you today is, do you know the Lord? Because it's not enough to know about Jesus. We must know Jesus. And if we choose to follow Jesus Christ in this day and age, in the 21st century, we know that that has consequences. It has consequences for the way we live each day. I'm a little worried, to be honest with you. I'm a little worried with these Christians I keep hearing about in our society today. I'm a little worried because I hear about a lot of Christians that don't have very Christian attitudes. I'm a little worried about people who say they are followers of Jesus, but yet they're fine with bigotry and hatred. They don't seem to be very forgiving or very caring. If we truly want to follow Jesus, we know how to forgive our enemies, and we seek to forgive our enemies. We seek to love, to bless, to pray for those who are not kind to us or who don't think the way we think. If we seek to follow Jesus, we must seek to live differently and to act differently. If we seek to follow Jesus, our attitudes must be the attitudes of Christ. We know Jesus at this deep level, and we understand him when we open our minds and our hearts to the Lord and to the gospel way of living, which is not what comes naturally to most of us. Because unfortunately, what comes natural to most of us is our comfort zone. I live in my own world, with my own ideas, with my own habits, good and bad. That has nothing to do with Christianity, by the way. Christianity has to do with conforming my life to the will of God. Seeking the will of God, seeking the way of Jesus, because I know the gospel way, because I know the Lord personally, because I'm able to walk in the way of God through God's grace, by the way, not through any power or strength of ours, through God's grace, and then our life is different. I want to share with you a poem that I found, and I think it very clearly expresses what I'm trying to say to you. If Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two, if he came unexpectedly, I wonder what you'd do. Oh, I know you'd give your nicest room to such an honored guest, and all the food you'd serve to him would be the very best. And you would keep assuring him you're glad to have him there, that serving him in your own home is joy beyond compare. But when you saw him coming, would you meet him at the door with arms outstretched in welcome to your heavenly visitor? Or would you have to change your clothes before you let him in? Or hide some magazines and put the Bible where they've been? Would you turn off the radio and hope he hadn't heard? And wish you hadn't uttered that last loud, nasty word? Would you hide your worldly music and put some hymn books out? Could you let Jesus walk right in? Or would you rush him out? And I wonder, if the Savior spent a day or two with you, would you go right on doing the things you always do? Would you go right on saying the things you always say? Would life for you continue as it does from day to day? Would your family conversation keep up its usual pace? And would you find it hard at each meal to say a table grace? Would you sing the songs you always sing and read the books you read and let him know the things on which your mind and spirit feed? Would you take Jesus with you everywhere you plan to go? Or would you maybe change your plans just a day or so? Would you be glad to have him meet your very closest friends? Or would you hope they'd stay away until his visit ends? Would you be glad to have him stay forever, on and on? Or would you sigh with great relief when he was at last gone? It might be interesting to know the things that you would do if Jesus Christ in person came to spend some time with you. This poem by Lois Blanchard Eads. How would our life change if Jesus came to spend some time with us? If we really got to know Jesus deeply and became followers of his way in every area of our lives, if we put aside our own attitudes of selfishness, our narrow-mindedness, if we were able to put aside our exclusions of certain people we don't like or care for, prejudices of different kinds, what would it be like if we got to know Jesus really and know him in such a way that that knowing him transformed the way that we viewed the entire world and everyone in it? Would knowing Jesus, and not just about Jesus, have an impact in the way we live as Christians today? Because believe it or not, that's what we're called to do. We are called to know Jesus. And by knowing Jesus, knowing his attitudes, knowing the behaviors we are called to exhibit, knowing that we're sinful, by the way, and limited, but knowing that by his grace, we can accomplish everything. Because it is only by God's grace that we're able to live as true followers of Jesus Christ. Knowing Jesus has consequences. Living the Christian life has consequences. Saying, "I am a Christian," means a lot. And it's not just a title. It's not just being a card-carrying member. It transforms our entire existence. How we act, how we think, and how we live our faith in this world. To know Jesus. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.